Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for stopping by. Pull up a chair, make yourself comfortable. Today on the show, we're going to talk about waiting for the Lord. You know, I always tell you that I depend on the Holy Spirit to guide me for this program. Earlier today, I didn't know what I was supposed to talk about. And it's kind of amazing to watch the Spirit at work sometimes, how all of these different readings came together. Some of my spiritual devotions that I read, some of the readings from Daily Mass, they all came together, and I feel the Spirit wants me to talk about what it means to wait for the Lord. So that's what we're going to talk about on the program today. And again, I want to thank you for helping me to spread the word about Following the Truth. Please continue to let your friends know that this guy, Gary, does a 30-minute show called Following the Truth, and that the show is available free of charge from any of your standard podcast outlets. You know why? Because we need to help one another right now. There's a lot of hopelessness out in the world. There's a lot of discouragement. There is a lot of doom and gloom. And yeah, there's a real threat. I'm not going to deny that. But God is bigger than any problem that we are facing now or will ever face. And I'm going to ask you to give me an amen on that one. And yes, I heard you say that because I know you believe, and that's why you're here. So here's what we're going to do. Let's pray right now to Almighty God, the creator of the universe. Pretty cool that I can do this, that I can lead us in prayer right now, knowing that God will hear us and listen to this and wait for him to answer in the best way possible at the correct time. That's what we're going to talk about on the show today. So isn't that convenient to wait for a response, knowing that that response is coming? So with that in mind, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come before you. It's just amazing that we're even able to speak with you. You are all-powerful, Father. You have created the entire universe out of nothing. And yet somebody insignificant like me can speak to you at any time of the day or night and know, without a doubt, that you hear what I have to say. And furthermore, that you are excited to hear from me. I know that I'm not even bothering you. I know that you are ecstatic whenever I turn to you in prayer. So that's just incredible. Because I don't know a lot, Father, but I know how important you are. I know just what an amazing God you are. So thank you for the rare privilege, this unique and special privilege of being able to address you in prayer. Father, we come before you today humbly, recognizing that you are God, we are not. And we ask you to bless us and our families this day. As you know, we're in the middle of a very tough situation, this coronavirus pandemic. I understand that it's nothing for you. You could wipe it out in the blink of an eye. But for us, you know it's a big deal. There's a lot of suffering going on right now, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of helplessness, a lot of frustration. Father, we ask you to put an end to this virus. We ask you to help those who are struggling because they have the virus, because they're worried about getting it, because they're watching a loved one suffer, because they're suffering financially. Father, I'm going to trust you to fix it all. I'm going to ask you to fix it, but I trust you with the answer. Father, I ask you to keep us safe from germs, from hopelessness, from financial difficulties. And I ask you, Father, to use me as your instrument today. Please guide my words so that your message can be transmitted through this program. And finally, I ask you to open our hearts, open our minds, so that we can hear your message, respond to it, and go out and share it with others. Father God, I ask you this in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Let's all say amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Cool. Thank you for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimak. This is Following the Tooth. Following the Tooth. Yes. Following the Truth. I should know the name of my own show. Time to take a sip of the beverage du jour. Got a nice mug of regular tea. No cream, no sugar. I just drink my tea straight. I hope you have a great beverage, great snack. Hope you're able to enjoy this program. Settle in, relax, take your shoes off, whatever you need to do as we talk about Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the powerful Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about on this program. And if you're new to the show, welcome. I've been waiting for you. If you want to find out more information about my work, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. By the way, if you want to get an insight into the readings for this upcoming Sunday's Mass, this is Friday, the Sunday Mass readings, check out my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show. You can find out more by going to followingthetruth.com or just go to your regular old podcast outlets and you can download the show there. It is available generally on Fridays. Right now it is up and you can download it, The Gary Zimak Show. Find out more about the Sunday Mass readings. All scriptural. You know, I assume sometimes I take for granted that everybody that listens to this program is Catholic, but I know that's not the case. So if you're not Catholic, what we do is on the weekly program, we look at the readings from our Sunday Mass or our liturgy, all of which come directly from the Bible, and I just give some thoughts about those readings. So the Gary Zimak Show, please check it out. Let me know what you think. All right, let's take a look at this idea of waiting for the Lord. So this is kind of amazing how this came about. I told you, I depend on the Holy Spirit to lead me. So early this morning, I am doing I have a series of books that I use to, as part of my prayer in the morning. I meditate on scripture and different spiritual books, and then I converse with the Lord. It's part of a routine that I go through. And early this morning, one of the Psalms from the book of Psalms that I was reading was Psalm 130. It's a prayer for pardon and peace. I'm going to read this to you a little. And what was happening as I was reading this idea of waiting for the Lord. In other words, waiting for Him, not just waiting just in case He does something, but expectantly waiting for Him to act. We ask Him for something and then we wait because we know He will respond. That's this idea of waiting for the Lord. It's a confident waiting. It's not just waiting just in case He manages to come through. It's no, you ask Him for something and you expect Him to answer. That's what comes through in this psalm. And that's the message I want to put forth to you today. When you pray, do you expect something to happen? Do you really expect the Lord to perform a miracle? Whether you're asking for an end to the coronavirus, for business as usual to resume, for a financial breakthrough, for some sort of a miracle in your life, for an end to your loneliness, whatever it is, when you pray, do you expect the Lord to answer? Do you wait confidently for Him? I'm not saying you're trying to manipulate Him, but do you expect Him to answer? Remember, He can answer with no or not yet, but do you expect Him to answer? If not, let's work on this. Let's talk about it and why you should expect Him to answer so that when you're waiting on Him, it's not a matter of will He come through. It's a matter of when He will come through with the answer that's best. Psalm 130. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Now, the psalmist here is crying out of the depth, out of desperation, looking at a very hopeless situation. Can you relate? I mean, right now, most of us can relate. Look, this could be some grave sin. Maybe you just can't break free from some sin in your life. You keep doing the same thing over and over again. You feel worthless. You feel that you can't be forgiven. By the way, that's not true, because any sin can be forgiven. You're worth it to God. You know, you might feel you're worthless, but not to God. You have plenty of worth. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. So don't ever think like that. But just, you know, this place of despair, almost despair, depression, hopelessness, darkness. Many people are in that place right now. Out of the depths. We're in the depths right now, right? I cry to you, O Lord. Can you just feel the passion? O Lord, hear my voice. Please, Lord, hear me. Hear my prayers, Lord. I'm desperate. Let your ears be attentive to my cries of supplication. I mean, this is somebody begging the Lord. Lord, please hear me. Have you ever prayed like that? I pray like that all the time. There have been many times in my life that I've really felt hopeless. And I'm begging the Lord, Lord, please hear me. You know, and look, that's not denial. That's not a lack of faith. That's an expression of your faith because you're passionate. When we pray, we want to pray with some passion. We don't want to just go through the motions. You know, we've talked about this a lot in the past. We don't want to just go through the motions. We want to pray with passion because we have the ear of Almighty God. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it? If you, O Lord, keep a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand upright? But with you there is forgiveness, so that you may be revered. Now here we have somebody writing this psalm who is obviously dealing with some sin. Now look, let's face it, we are all sinners. You may or may not be feeling that right now. But even if you're not feeling, if your issue is not dealing with some sin and you're begging to be forgiven, maybe you're dealing with some other hopeless problem. And for a lot of us, the coronavirus is the number one priority in our lives because it's impacting us so much right now. But what comes across to me when I hear these words, if you, O Lord, kept a record of our sins, O Lord, who could stand upright? In other words, I'm a sinner. Lord, if you're keeping a record, a scorecard of my sins, I don't have a leg to stand on. But you know what? He doesn't keep a record of it. Because when we go to him and ask for his forgiveness. Now, for us Catholics right now, this is really hard because we are unable, for the most part, to go and receive the sacrament of confession, which is the ordinary way for us to receive forgiveness for our sins. We can't do that right now. But we can still go to the Lord right now and say we're sorry, make an act of contrition. That's what Pope Francis said. And then when we can go to confession, we'll go and confess our sins. That doesn't mean we have to wait until when and if we can go to confession to receive the forgiveness. We'll get the forgiveness now. But the point is, God doesn't hold it against us. What we need to do is ask for forgiveness. That is an example of his mercy. He is being merciful. So if you're not dealing with sinfulness right now, if that's not your main concern, you might be dealing with some other situation where you're suffering. Again, financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Mercy helps out with all of those situations too. Why? Because mercy, God's mercy means he wants to eliminate your suffering. So whatever you're suffering from right now, God is merciful. And it doesn't matter how many times you have asked him in the past, he is ready and willing to shower you with his mercy right now. But just make sure you go to him and ask him with passion and expectation. Now, here we get to the waiting part of Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord in anxious expectation. Isn't that good? Anxious expectation. I anxiously await him to answer. I'm expecting an answer. I'm not just throwing the prayers up over the fence and hoping for the best, like as if I have a rabbit's foot. No, I am pleading with the Lord. Lord, help me. And I expect an answer. And I anxiously am looking for this answer. You know, this is the prayer of somebody who really believes in God and really believes that he can come through. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the dawn. Now, the watchmen, these are the guys who are standing guard through the night. The watchman waiting for the dawn is somebody who's waiting to get relieved. His shift is going to be over once the dawn comes about. So when the sun comes up, his shift is over. So this guy is really waiting for this to happen. And, you know, very few of us, even though it is possible, and honestly, it's something good to thank God for, very few of us don't expect the sun to rise in the morning, because we just expect that it'll happen. Here's the thing, though. It doesn't have to happen. So we expect the sun to rise. We have that faith that the sun would rise. Look, if I were to offer you a bet, I'll bet you $10 that the sun won't rise tomorrow. You probably would take me up on the bet. Again, thank God for letting the sun rise. We can't take it for granted. But for the most part, we have faith that the sun will rise. The watchman who waits for the dawn, expectantly waiting for the sun to rise, so that he can go home and relax. This is the same way that we should wait for the Lord to hear, knowing that he hears our prayers, and to answer our prayers. More than watchmen wait for the dawn, let Israel wait for the Lord. So even more than a watchman would wait for the Lord, we should wait for the dawn, we should wait for the Lord to answer our prayers. For with the Lord there is kindness. See, we get back to that mercy, that kindness, as well as plenteous redemption. He alone will redeem Israel from all its sins. And it gets back to that theme of forgiveness for sins. But again, that extends even to whatever we need in life. There's certainly we need forgiveness for our sins. We look at what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He redeemed us for our sins. I mean, that shows you what kind of a merciful God that we serve, right? But whatever it is that you're praying for, try to develop that expectation. And how do we get that? How do we start to have confidence that God will come through so that when we pray, we wait for something to happen? The way we do it, the way our faith grows, and that's what that requires in order for that kind of expectation to take place, we have to have a strong faith. That faith is practiced by exercising it. It's like when you're working out, you're lifting weights or something, what do you have to do? You have to exercise the muscle so the muscle will grow. Faith works the same way. The more I ask God for things, the more time I spend looking at the Bible and watching and reading stories of his miraculous accomplishments throughout the years, the more time I spend in my own life looking back and realizing how many times he has come through for me, the more time I spend, and this is with the help of the Holy Spirit, the more time I spend appreciating the blessings that he gives me each day. And, you know, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see the blessings that the Lord gives you every day. The fact that the sun came up this morning, the fact that you woke up today, these are two blessings that often get taken for granted. So thank him for these things. I mean, it's incredible that the sun rises every day and that the planet keeps spinning and that the world continues to exist. All of this is an expression of God's mercy. So be thankful for it. And the more you get to know him, the more confidence you begin to have in him, the more your faith grows. And then your expectation increases. Like, man, I know the Lord hears me. There's not even a doubt about that. You know, you start to get to that point and say that, I know he hears me, and I know he's going to answer when the time is right. That kind of faith doesn't generally happen overnight. That kind of faith generally takes a lifetime to grow. I was talking with a friend last night, and I said, you never want to get to the point, and he agreed with me, that we say our faith is strong enough, we could just relax now. No, you want your faith to continue to grow throughout your life. You don't want to waste one day just sitting where you are and just being comfortable thinking that, well, my faith is good enough. No, we want to keep working on this every day. So let's get more back to this this idea of waiting. So that's the first psalm that I ran across. And then I was looking at the mass readings for today, which is Friday of the second week of Easter, right? Friday the second week of Easter. And I read the responsorial psalm for today. It's Psalm 27, one of my favorites. I'll get to the waiting part of this, but I might as well read the whole thing because this psalm is one of my favorites for a lot of reasons. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? You know, these are tough times for us. A lot of us are afraid, but the Lord is my light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, correct? And he's my salvation. Jesus Christ, by virtue of what he did on the cross, he redeemed me. He opened up the gates of heaven for me. So he's my light. He's my salvation. Remind me of who should I fear? Right. So that's the first part of the psalm. The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? In other words, I got the Lord in my life. He's a powerful guy and he loves me. Why am I afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. One thing I seek, to be with the Lord, to be in his house, both in this life and for all eternity in heaven. I mean, is that the one thing I seek in life? And we get back to the whole business of seeking first the kingdom of God, oftentimes we don't. We seek first comfort in this life. And that's where we start to get a little freaked out when some of our earthly comforts are taken away, right? This is why Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount to seek first the kingdom of God. He didn't deny that that we have earthly needs. He said, our Father in heaven knows we need things, but seek him first. And then everything else will fall into place. Not necessarily everything we want, but all of our needs will be taken care of in some way. That priority is really important. And then the psalm continues, I believe, right? That's an expression of faith. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. When we talk about all of his gifts, I mean, look at the bounty that he gives us. All these incredible gifts that the Lord gives us. How cool is that? But we take some of them for granted sometimes. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. Did you catch that? Wait for the Lord with courage. I am not afraid. Why? Because I know he's good for his word and he's going to come through. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. And again, that doesn't mean to cross your fingers and hope for the best. That means that it's just a matter of when he's going to come through. We don't always know how, but we know that he will answer. Because Jesus told us, if we ask, we will what? We will receive. Now quickly, so I got this waiting on the Lord theme going, and then I read today's gospel. Let me read this to you because I think there's a couple points that we need to hear. This is from John chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw signs he was performing on the sick. So people saw Jesus performing miracles. And we've talked about this before. He doesn't perform miracles just to impress people. He's trying to establish the fact that he is God, that he is divine, so people pay attention to him. And that was happening. There's nothing to get your attention so much as a miracle. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" And John in this gospel tells us that Jesus said this to test Philip because he knew what he was going to do. He tested Philip because he wanted to see he wanted Philip to answer this question. And here's what Philip said. You got all these people. 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. This is one of his apostles, right? One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Now, these are two of the apostles, Philip and Andrew, both of whom said, "We've got too many people here to feed, Lord. Just forget it. There is nothing we can do." You know what they did wrong, don't you? What did they do wrong? They forgot about asking Jesus for help. Asking him with expectation, expecting to get an answer, expecting what? That he would come through. We do the same thing, don't we? I do this all the time, and I should know better. But I do it all the time. I was doing some writing earlier today and I was starting to panic because the words weren't coming. And then it's like, yes, Holy Spirit, please inspire me. Give me the words. And then it started to flow. He doesn't expect us to do things on our own. He wants us to do what we can, but he wants us to turn to him for help. So we've got Andrew and Philip both telling Jesus, like, we can't feed the people. What are we supposed to do? What did Jesus say? He didn't respond to either one of them. He said, "Have the people recline." Now, there was a great deal of grass in the place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. So we got 5,000 men, plus there's women and children. So there's several thousand people that need to be fed. Several thousand people, and we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus, what did he do? He took the loaves. He gave thanks and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they were finished, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over that nothing will be wasted." What did they end up with? After feeding all the people, after feeding all the people. They had 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who has come into the world." So in other words, Jesus blew the mind of the people who saw him feed 5,000 plus people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. When you challenge the Lord, when you expect big things from him, and he comes through, you know, he doesn't come through always in the way we expect, but I have seen miracles happen in my life. When he comes through like that, what happens? Your faith grows and your confidence in him grows, so that in the future, when you pray, you have no doubt that he heard you, and you have no doubt that he's going to come through. He's going to answer. And then what do you have? You have expectant hope, and you anxiously expect him to come through with an answer. You just wait for him. That's what it means to wait for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord in that way is not just hoping, and I'm not talking about Christian hope, crossing your fingers hope that he might come through. You know he's going to come through. You know he's going to answer. But you also have to trust he's going to answer in the best way. So that's what it means to wait for the Lord. So I would encourage you today, pray, boldly pray for what you need, and then expect an answer. And every day, keep expecting that answer. And pray with a lot of expectation and a lot of gusto. You know, just give it all you got when you pray. And know that the Lord hears you and will answer when the time is right. Okay, isn't that kind of amazing how this all came together? This idea of waiting for the Lord. Again, the Holy Spirit does a great job if I just let him lead me on this program. I want to thank you for listening to Following the Truth. Again, check out the Gary Zimek Show to get more information about the Sunday Mass readings. Remember, next week on Following the Truth, it's a 5-part series, From Fear to Faith, 5 Days to Greater Peace in Christ. It all starts on Monday. I plan to be here, God willing. I hope you as well. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember to check out my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information about my work. Gotta run. See you later. God bless you.